This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
I got all the bus people are lined up ready to cross the road because road crossings are hazardous when you have a large group of people.
So I had to take a local road to go west.
I drove into this town totally unannounced.
And then we would load up this big top tent and struggle up the mountains across these incredible tiny washed out gravel roads.
So they're all standing up there on the side of the sidewalk, and down comes the street, comes a cop car, right? And not on my cue, not anybody else's cue, but what do they decide to do? The wave.
Life is not a play. The time has come that you gotta understand. It is for real.
As the cop drives by, they all do the wave to this cop. It goes all the way down the line and back up. And then another one comes by, three cops in a row, and they do this thing to them. And I'm like, uh-oh, off I go across the road.
From our studio on a drizzly, chilly day in Sebastopol, California, but sunshine will return for billions of years, this is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller, with stories about journeys and changes. This time, two kind of, well, they're kind of nutty, actually.
You know, so this week is a celebration of the kind of nutty. We have been listening so much to serious discussions about the erosion of rights and liberties and threats to national security and the threat of national security. And I start thinking, well, maybe the most serious threat to our well-being is the threat of seriousness. We all feel so serious.
Maybe that's why we elect clowns to high public office.
Well, the problem is that they are not funny. A clown should be funny.
A while ago, we started getting email announcements from this theater group in San Francisco that sounded kind of young and wild and funny. So we talked with the producer and three other performers at a coffee house in the Mission District, and then we climbed aboard the show.
Everybody, come on this way. Come on in. Hand him a popcorn box, will you?
In San Francisco, you can meet in a parking lot at dusk, get on a bus hosted by clowns, spend the evening driving to many locations throughout the Bay Area, stopping to see a cabaret act, a Punch and Judy show, a fire dance, or what have you, and consider the parameters of art. This is a trip with popcorn anti-theater.
This is an audience participation game. Whoever wins a prize tonight, their life becomes completely different. Then on the count of three, you got to catch as much popcorn as you can. You got to catch it like you've never ate popcorn before in your life. One, two, three. Faster!
It came about, I had done this thing called Burning Man where there was an art walk like 10 years ago, and they warned you ahead of time that you could get lost and then wander for the rest of your life until your bones are leached and buzzards are picking at your bones. So you get scared with that under the underlying thing. You go into the dark with these other people, and it was the only thing that kept you from being frightened to death, right? So you walk from one art installation to the next art installation. So it's called a procession. And I wanted to do a theater that was similar to that, that would, you know, be in an environment that scared you, but then you looked to your other fellow festival goers to feel more comfortable in the great outdoors.
We journey tonight with Popcorn Anti-Theater on a mysterious adventure into the unknown. What happens to you and your companions tonight is an unrepeatable performance that can never happen the same way again. A unique experience created...
I was working with the Technomania Circus, and Hernan saw our show at the Odeon, and the next thing I know, I've done it for like the last 6-7 months. I can't get enough of it. I love popcorn. It's America's favorite snack food.
It is.
You guys are the best audience ever!
Yeah, so now what, do you guys want to stand up or what?
I'll show you all my tits in the back later for free. Nobody else gets to see them. You guys.
Well, Glenn discovered me. I was a passenger on Popcorn, and he was coming up and down the aisles and trying to get audience members to do things. And he said, "Who's going to sing me a dirty song?" And I said, "I'll sing you a dirty song." So I sang a parody of Que Sera Sera that I wrote called Take Off Your Bra, Your Bra. And Glenn was enormously impressed with my raw talent. And it turned out that the cast was changing. He said, "Why don't you come to a meeting?"
And I went to the internet and I looked up Popcorn Anti-Theater and I found it and I just showed up.
just showed up and said, hi, I'm here. I'm going to be a part of this. And actually, I was real lucky that night. One of the other performers had canceled or didn't show up. And so there was an empty spot that Hernan was looking desperately to fill. It was an interesting experience. It was very popcorn because I'd never...
Explain them to you all. Rule number one. If we are stopped and detained by the authorities, tell them, we are on an art school field trip. Can I hear that all together now?
We are on an art school field trip!
And so then we walk into this dark canyon, and then we go up this hill, and we go over this crest, and then I go, you got to go down this cliffside, 75 feet, and then you got to go up an island cliff, another 75 feet, and then there's this place that's about 5x5 that you got to perform. So that's all she knew.
We climbed out there. There's ocean on three or four sides, you know. You have to climb down this cable. I didn't have my own pants. I was in a dress, and you can't do a fire performance in a dress, so I think I borrowed Hernan's pants. I ran out there. There's poison oak everywhere. The audience is 200 feet away on this cliff, and I light up, and I go into my fire routine, and it was just, the audience raved about it for the rest of the night. It was just the most amazing performance I've ever done. And I think after doing that, I was just sold. If I'm going to get challenges like this, then, you know, this is where I want to be, so...
Yeah. He played harp on the cliffside, not knowing she was over there.
That was the night that you met me, and you also played the hokey pokey on the harp.
It was beautiful.
It was a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
At its best, popcorn creates these moments that are absolutely magical. You know, I think because you're outside, and they're very open to having an experience that's really special.
Where's my lap?
That was rule number four. In case of an now, this is important, everybody be quiet. In case of an amorous emergency, your seat cushion can be used as a flirtation device. Use your imagination.
Now, if it sounds a little bit like a drunken party, it is. You can bring your own. It's not required, but it's part of the music. And I should say, it is legal as long as the driver, who is a professional, is sober. I asked him for a comment.
I'm just curious, how long have you been driving the bus?
How long?
Yeah.
Oh, 2 years.
Yeah. Is this typical?
Oh, English is no good. Sorry.
Yes.
So what about the non-drinkers?
They sit at the back of the bus and get stoned?
The center of the bus.
They sit in the center.
I don't drink and I don't get stoned. No. And I'm definitely in there entertaining those people. You don't have to drink to have a good time on popcorn. Because I have never drunk on popcorn and I've always had a good time.
What you love, right?
Yeah!
Tonight we are going to present the marvelous misadventures of Punch and Judy!
Yay!
A tragical comedy! And if any time during the show you see this bride and you got to yell from the top of your lungs to the bottom of your socks, Mr. Punch, there's the dragon! Let's try this all together now on the count of three. Uno, duo, trio!
Mr. Punch, there's the dragon!
Judy, have you?
No!
Oh, Judy, my love, my duck of many diamonds, my pearl of wisdom, come up and see me.
Oh, no, Mr. Punch, I'm having a bad hair day.
Oh, come on, Judy, get your ass up here.
All right.
Oh, there she is. Isn't she a beauty?
No!
Oh, Mr. Punch, what did you want?
Oh, I want a kiss, a little smacker.
Well, here's a smack on a kisser.
Oh! Shit. Oh! Oh, don't worry, we can make more.
Oh, no.
Mr. Punch, where's that baby?
Oh, the baby?
Yes, the baby.
I threw it out the window.
You what? You threw the baby out the window. You big nose, blue-eyed villain. Ow.
My biggest probably personal triumph story, well, first you have to understand, I don't have their skills. What do? I'm a loudmouth. I'm a designated jackass.
But you're good at it.
You make a living that way?
Kind of. I teach English. I'm a smarty pants in real life. So I had recently broken up with my boyfriend, and so I started trashing him up and down and up and down and up and down the bus aisles, and I got the entire bus incited to the point where we called up and left a message on his answering machine. Whole bus, 60 drunk people. You suck! So that was the beginning of drunken bus messaging.
Let the Pokemon through.
It's been interesting, a little chaotic.
What's been your experience so far?
Well, I gotta say, it's been like nothing I've ever experienced before.
I really like it.
Where do you come from?
We're all from France, actually. We're a bunch of French people.
Oh, where about?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we do enjoy it. It's very fun. It's very San Francisco.
I tell my friends that I'm not so much a performer as a conceptual artist whose medium is a bus full of drunks.
That's beautiful.
This trip is all about traveling to other places in the Bay Area and maybe
yes,
even traveling back in time. You know, Trixie, I'd like to travel into your past.
Oh, Spencer, I wish he could. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish he could.
You're my Trixie Khan.
Teddy Bear.
You're my superstar.
Curling my hair for a big date Saturday. I can't wait.
Oh, my Trixie Khan. You're my superstar.
Everybody's on the bus? Is there anybody not on the bus? All right, all you dead people in the back, raise your hands. Okay.
They really want to play, like kids.
Play.
And that's, for me, it's like they get to go out and they suddenly they're kids again. They're teenagers on the high school bus going away from home the first time. Or their parents are away from town. We can have fun. And I really have a good time with them doing that because it's all about play for me. When they start playing and everybody's having that kind of, when you're a kid, you're playing games with the toys and stuff and everybody's sharing and it's all clicking along, that's what it feels like to me. It's like we're a bunch of kids out having a good time, and it seems like we're safe because we have each other. You know, we're in this big black place, but we got each other, and we're all safe, and we're gonna have fun anyway. So that's kind of my take.
The good old good night, sleep tight until we meet again. Adios, au revoir.
In San Francisco's Mission District, we were talking with producer Hernan Cortez and friends. The Popcorn website is www.popcornantitheater.com.
And this is Hitchhiking Off the Map. You know, when we were editing the popcorn piece, I thought, I wonder if this is going to hang together. There's the bus trip, and we structured it around that, but you could follow so many threads from there, you know, what these people are doing with their lives.
You could form a whole soap opera around rides with the Popcorn Anti-Theater.
Those soap operas break the stranglehold of the ending, the illusion that every other mode of our storytelling creates, that in real life there is, in fact, a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Right. So when you've killed the monster, that's the end of the story.
Or winning the war, or boy gets girl. And we transfer that into our illusions about reality. Maybe that's why we like sometimes to nest stories inside stories. We finish the one, but the other goes on.
Reality popping out of its girdle.
Thank you. Our next story is based on a true story sent to us by a friend in New Orleans. We changed the circumstance, changed the characters, changed the ocean, but we kept the lobster and the spirit.
This is Lobster Liberation.
How's it coming? You sound gloomy. Never sound gloomy around here. It suggests vulnerability.
My guru.
Guru. Oh, okay. I guess 5 years in an ad agency is equivalent to a bed of nails. Yeah. Am I interrupting you?
Yes, you are. Thank God. No, really. It's great. Challenging, creative, sometimes morally despicable.
It is not.
But it satisfies my addiction to money.
I wish we still worked together.
What? So we could scream and fight like I do with Larry and Chris? Can I have a sip of that coffee?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
No, Mike, I mean seriously, it was a godsend they promoted you before we could establish a relationship of solid animosity. And thank God you're gay. I wish they all were.
Do I detect the whiff of relationship trauma?
Don't go there.
Oh, come on, Garen. Is that old glass half empty or half full?
It's entirely full, but I won't say of what. Oh, God, these vacation packages. It's all cliché. Relaxation, liberation, blah, 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 blah. And I look at these photos and I don't have one original idea. Except I want to go there fast.
Okay, here's the hook. Here's one for free, okay? Close-up of this woman, gloomy, depressed, harried, haggard. No, you're not haggard. On the beach, palm trees, tropical blossoms, middle of the beach, sitting at her desk. And it says, wake up and smell the flowers.
Oh, Oh, yeah. Wow, clever. Yeah, no, I mean, that's really good. Yeah. And that's why they promoted you. But this client would say, I don't get it.
Karen, they promoted me for my capacity to intimidate my clients.
Mike.
What?
Oh.
What?
I don't know. It's funny. I was looking at this stuff and thinking about this little beach in Delaware, yeah. And now suddenly I realize who you remind me of.
What?
Never mind.
you leave me hanging there?
Don't you have work to do?
No, actually, I just finished a presentation and my clients asked for a little time to recover. I love it when they freak.
Oh, God. You are so much like Ronnie.
Ronnie?
My cousin, Ronnie. I haven't seen him in years. He does documentaries, nature stuff. I saw one on PBS. It was trilobites or something, these primeval little slugs in the mud. Mm-hmm. And they've discovered, I don't know how, but the lenses in their compound eyes were incredible.
What?
They could see stars that we can't even see. And they didn't need them because they're just glopping around in the goo. They might need to see maybe 3 inches, but they could see the stars. Why am I talking about this?
Trilobites?
Well, yeah. Ronnie, liberation, lobsters.
Lobsters.
Lobsters. Okay. I was 15, and on the outside, I was a model student, and very happy, and a perfect little lady. And was that ever false advertising? And my dad and his brother were very close. And both families went to Rehoboth, a beach in Delaware. And my cousin Ronnie, he was about a year older, and behind my glasses and braces and zits, I was lusting madly. And actually, he turned out to be gay. Lucky for me. But we hung out together. Ronnie?
Why don't you take off your glasses?
I can't see.
All you see is people looking at you thinking how stupid you look in glasses. You said you had contacts.
Being cousins doesn't mean
it means
that
I don't have to lie. Those glasses make you look as ugly as you think you look. Well, so either you could burst into tears and never speak to me again, or you could take off your glasses.
Okay.
Okay, good news is that we're going to the beach. Like, get up real early, so we're out at dawn. Not here, there's too many people here, but about 7 miles south there's access.
7 miles?
I'll drive.
You're still on your learner's permit.
Yeah, I'm underage, so I'm not responsible for my decisions.
Why are we driving 7 miles before dawn? The ocean is right out there.
For the lobster. I got a lobster from the grocery store, and we have to set it free. I'm serious, Karen. Mom asked me to go to the grocery store, and so I'm coming out, and this lobster tank, this one lobster, it's got a nose, big white nose. It wasn't a nose, it was a barnacle, actually, right on the nose, but it looks like a nose.
What are you talking
Karen,
about?
Karen, I swear to you, I have never, ever shoplifted before.
You shoplifted?
I opened the top of the tank.
A lobster?
I grabbed it, put it in the grocery sack.
A lobster?
Right on top of the vanilla fudge. I got him in a picnic basket.
It's a lobster.
Yeah, I packed in some ice to keep him cool and took the tape off his pinchers.
Won't he die?
Well, that's the way they ship them. He's not from here. He's from, like, Connecticut or something.
Hmm. His pinchers are different.
Right, that one's a cutter. That slices up dead fish. And the big one's the crusher, crushes clamshells. I mean, he's not a vegetarian. I mean, this isn't an animal rights, humanitarian, Buddhist thing. I just felt he's just very peculiar. And so maybe I'm an elitist, but I just don't think he's destined for somebody's dinner.
Well, it's just not every day I think about driving the getaway car for a crustacean.
I'm driving. Look, I understand it's nuts. Shoplifting is a misdemeanor, even if it's an endangered species.
It's not an endangered species.
This individual is. And it's probable that being homesick for Connecticut, it will die. It will die. Okay, yes, true. Yes, true. But at least in the ocean at sunrise.
Die in the ocean at sunrise.
Or not. Maybe swim out and be a lobster.
Oh, God. I know I'm gonna do this. Why am I gonna do this?
Because you're in love.
Don't flatter yourself.
Oh, excuse me, I got a beep.
Oh, Michael, I need to finish this.
I just grabbed... what were we talking about?
We're talking about I'm very busy and I got a deadline and I better stop daydreaming.
Well, so work.
But I need to. I'm sorry. But I'm not paid to reclaim my childhood on company time. And I don't have issues about liberation. I reconciled myself long ago to working for a living, being a commodity, if you will. I am plucked out of my habitat, packed in ice, marketed, boiled, and eaten, and this is by my own free choice.
You are a worrywart, you know that?
Yeah, that's what Ronnie said.
You are a worrywart, you know that?
Gee, Ronnie, I appreciate your insight.
Yeah, so let's go.
And what are we going to say when we get back?
Tell them the truth. We were down at the beach.
7 miles to the beach?
I admit they'll wonder about that, but that's where we got the advantage. They have to worry about us. We don't have to worry about them. See, you just established kind of a bottom line insanity. Then that's good, because anytime you need to, you can act just a little bit normal, and that makes them very happy. Okay, so we say we just drove down a few blocks. It's chilly, so we didn't want to walk.
I don't lie to my parents.
I want to sleep with you in the desert. That's a song.
Related to lobsters?
Am I really screwed up and kind of cruel and awful?
Yeah. I think turn here.
Well, yeah, related to lobsters. And who you're going to be when you come up over the horizon and shine on the water and stretch out 8 legs and your big pincher and little pincher and tentacles and glasses and braces and really see through those eyes. See this very funky sunrise and scuttle into the surf and, oh man, you're home to mama. Oh, Karen, there's a world lapping up at us and who cares about the rest of it?
We're here.
You want to carry Leonard?
It's not Leonard.
You don't have a name.
No. He can't be free if he has a name. Karen is a name. You know who Karen is. And so that's exactly who Karen has to be for life.
Okay, no name. Me, no name. You, no name. Let's do it.
Okay. Oh, look at the sandpipers there. Put him down.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Oh. He's in rigor mortis.
Wait for the surf.
Michael, I've told it to people, but I missed the whole point. It lies there, thawing out like, and then it twitches, and then it moves. It's in the surf, and it's moving out, and then it's gone. Doesn't wave back. No thank yous. But it's free.
Well, and they stand there on the beach at dawn, sandpipers, chill wind, and the sun coming up fierce in their eyes.
Oh, wow, that's good. That's why they promoted you, yeah. Yeah, we freed the lobster. And I stood on the beach at dawn with a boy I loved and could never ever have, or would ever have me, and the salt.
Sweet salt.
The fool's journey. Why do we go on journeys?
Oh, to get what you want.
Oh. Well, all right, Michael. Hey, you're brilliant. So you tell me, what do I want?
Well, I guess you might be wanting this gorgeous, witty, soulful guy here who happens to be gay, but that makes it kind of sweet, simple, uncomplicated, to say, how about, we go down to the shore for the weekend and walk on the beach and wonder about things and plan some great strategies of liberation.
That's an interesting idea.
Although I'm never serious.
Then let's do.
Oop, beeper. Cutters and crunchers.
Barnacles.
Beep.
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 Thank you, cousin.
You're welcome, worrywart.
Crustacean.
Trilobite.
Lobster.
Karen.
No. No name.
No name. Whew.
no name. You're in the surf and the sea, far away from your home. You've got your pinchers, your cutter, your cruncher, but that's not much help in the mid-Atlantic. But you wiggle those legs and roll those eyes and, oh, mama, you're free. No name. No name to grab you. You're free, honey bunch. Swim for it.
We were listening to Lobster Liberation. Thanks for the inspiration for that piece to Sarson in New Orleans. And we wanted to share something she wrote about the real life journey.
We didn't set out to have a transformational moment. What we set out to do was free an unusual lobster from the trammels of human interference. Sometimes you have to throw caution, prudence, and common sense to the winds and go on a journey to set the lobster free.
So that's our trips for this week. Hitchhiking Off the Map is produced by The Independent Eye with funding from the National Endowment for the Arts. Visit our website, www.independenteye.org.
Next up, a drunken lady at a roadhouse dances to an epiphany.
And a friend who spent half a century as newspaperman and storyteller chronicling the species.
This is Elizabeth Fuller.
And Conrad Bishop. Peace and joy.
Okay, I do a little rap like, the reptile show, all live, not plasticized or formaldehyde, creeping, crawling reptiles. Have a look, push and shove your way to the front. Now's the time, the time is now, you pays here, you goes there. Come see Anna, the anaconda, Waldo, the blood-sweating hippo. Those with a heart attack, don't come in here. Ladies and gentlemen, have a look, here it is, right there. You know you want to see it. If you want to see it, you got to see it now, because we're not going to be here tomorrow. Come on, have a look, creeping, crawling reptiles.